Welcome to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, the command of the King of Glory, to be the light of the world. Don't hide your light under a basket, under a cover, but let it shine. Let it shine like they did with a torch for Gideon. Scared the Midianites to death. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we got so many wonderful details to share with you today because God is answering our prayer that an abortion doctor was convicted yesterday of the murder abortion is a big turn. Remember, we've been praying, God, end abortion, send revival. Today, we're going to dedicate this program, first hour, to many things about what's taking place in that area so we can stay informed and continue to pray. And joining me is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
It's exciting to hear what's going to go. We're going to talk about the stats, actually how many abortions are taking place. Also, we're going to have a testimony from Director of Minority Affairs with the Georgia Right to Life, Catherine Davis, sharing about her experience. And she's authentic and she's real and she tells it like it is. And today she's out there helping other people not make that choice. God's word even says, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Moloch. We're going to talk about that. This is a way to profane the name of God. We're going to turn this back by God's grace. Over 50 million sacrifices to Moloch taking place since, I believe, 1973.
Wow.
1973, but the tides are turning. And so much more. It's a day to celebrate. It's a day to realize our God answers prayer. Sanity seems to be coming back, and justice is beginning to rain down upon America. You can smell the rain. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer, Pat.
Hello.
Pat, this is so exciting. It is so, so very, very exciting to hear what happened yesterday when the doctor who was on, which I don't know what you call them, a doctor, but there's plenty of people you can call doctors today that are right, doing what, you know, Gosnell was doing in aborting children. Mm-hmm. Well, he was on trial. He was on trial for delivering children being delivered in an abortion attempt. Abortion means trying to kill the child.
Right.
And the babies were born alive to the point where they said some of the babies, they could even play with the babies. Another baby, I mean, it was just very tragic. But listen up to CBN News, and we're going to talk about this. This is a great answer to prayer, and it's the beginning of things changing in America.
Thanks for joining us on the CBN News Channel. I'm Charlene Israel.
And I'm Ephraim Graham. A Philadelphia jury convicted late-term abortionist Kermit Gosnell of murder. Now he could face the death penalty. The gruesome case highlights a terrible problem in America. Partial birth abortion is not just limited to Gosnell's House of Horrors. And this case may change the debate over abortion. John Jessup has the latest.
Throughout the eight-week trial, late-term abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell and his attorney maintained his innocence. But immediately after learning his fate,
Dr. Gosnell, your reaction to the murder.
He had nothing to say. In the end, jurors found the evidence to convict Gosnell on multiple counts of first-degree murder for killing three newborn infants after they'd been born alive. He was also guilty of involuntary manslaughter and the death of a 41-year-old immigrant who died from a drug overdose during a botched abortion. It took jurors 10 days to convict Gosnell on those charges and more than 200 other counts violating Pennsylvania's abortion laws.
I respect what juries do. I don't always agree, but I respect everything that they did, and they should be commended for their efforts.
Gosnell operated this clinic in West Philadelphia for 30 years before it was ultimately brought down for illegally prescribing painkillers. But what investigators found was far worse. They described his clinic as a house of horrors, with blood-stained walls, unsterilized medical equipment, and fetal remains stored in the employee refrigerator.
It is clear that this person was not following the rules. And we have a role in society of making sure that those people who don't follow the law pay the consequences of not following the law.
The jury has yet to determine whether Gosnell should get the death sentence. It is a case that's left a dark stain on Philadelphia, one some hope to remove.
This year alone, just in these last 4 months, we've saved 10 babies. The most recent was just a week ago.
Elaine Russo runs the Hope Pregnancy Center, not far from where Gosnell practiced. It's on track to save more lives than it did last year, 27. The center is the brainchild of Pastor Herb Lusk, who ministers in the heart of the inner city.
One out of every two pregnancies in the African-American community right now are aborted. One out of every two.
Lusk says he decided to start the center after he noticed women in the church who, in his words, were pregnant one Sunday and no longer pregnant the next.
I kept seeing them, what is going on? And realized that with all the abortion mills in our neighborhood, that many of them were using abortion almost as birth control. At that point, I knew that I had to do something, and just talking about it was not going to be enough.
Even now, with the clinic closed and Dr. Gosnell convicted, many in the pro-life movement say the fight is far from over. They worry there may be many other clinics that may be operating under the radar, just like Kermit Gosnell's clinic did. John Jessup, CBN News, Philadelphia.
This is amazing, because it's like a blind eye has been turned to the justice of the reality. And if you have not yet heard on VFN TV the teaching, no one cries for justice. And it's so important, because we will not cry for justice until we understand the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace and the mercies of God as he served justice on his son, Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus, it's rough. But in Jesus, Jesus takes that blow of our sin, and we can make things right personally, and we can begin to cry out that, and we want others to be able to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and as the one who took the justice for their situation. But we've got to cry for justice, and the Word of God says no one cries for justice. Well, people have been crying out since, what, 5 years?
At least 2007, 2008.
2007, 2008, thousands and thousands of hours that we joined in the harmony with Lou Engle and with International House of Prayer. And every Monday for 24 hours or 3 hour shifts, many of us have been praying and just asking God, you know, and it was just birthed out of the heart of a passionate Malachi drive. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is, dear God, end abortion, send revival. So often people are asking for revival without the ending of the shedding of innocent blood. And if you have not also heard Josiah, you know, we are Josiah.
That's right.
Josiah on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and watch it on VFN TV. It's so important, because we have to do something. We are Josiah. And we have in America right now, we have that authority. So this is definitely... the way our system works, a nation of laws. It's based off let the decision stand. When there's one case that happens such as this, then you can actually build other cases off of it. You'll refer to this case. It's called let the decision stand. Mm-hmm. And other judges now will begin to make decisions based on what this judge has done.
Right.
And they may take it all the way to the Supreme Court, trying to do away with it. They can't do away with it. This guy was killing these children. And the nurses witnessed it. And his witnesses in his case is reportedly, Fox News reports that it was his nurses. It was his nurses.
Wow.
And these children were being delivered alive with the attempts. The whole goal was to end their lives. And when they found out they were alive, he would take scissors and just cut the back of their necks, spines.
Yeah.
And it was just tragic. But you know what? This has been 50 million children this has been done to. Mm-hmm. 50 million. And it makes me think of, when I think about those that bought into this lie, I think about Catherine Davis. She's the director of the Minority Affairs. And this particular doctor he's an African-American. He was killing African-American children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's just, I can't believe that. And it's just a whole thing, period. It's just bad. But listen to her. This is her sharing about her experience when she bought into it, because prior to 1973, abortions still were legal in the state of New York. And from what really took place, it was really 1963 when all this began to happen. And 1973 was the fruition of passing a law that they kind of bought into and begin to legalize that or done away with all these particular laws that prevented a woman could ask at that point. But listen, this is the reality of what's taking place. And this is Catherine Davis just sharing about her experience. Listen up.
I was in college. I went to Tufts University up in Medfords, Massachusetts. And most people don't know that abortion was legal in some states in 1972 before Roe v. Wade. And New York was one of the states that had legalized abortion. And I actually flew from Boston to New York and had the abortion. I had choice because I knew my mom would have taken the baby. I knew that. But I was grown. And so I didn't want the baggage, in all honesty, of having a child while I was in college, because I had a vision for my life and it didn't include children. It was a very horrific experience for me. It was not this, you know, it's nothing like, you know, more than pulling a tooth. That is a total lie. When I got up from the table, they gave me cookies and juice to drink, and they let you lay there for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes before they shepherded you out and herded in the next group. And when I stood up, their sugar and cookies didn't work, and I fainted. And I think I fainted because of the horror of what I had done. I knew it was a baby. I knew it was another life. And so I just was heartless. And I think that's the case for many of us. We just, it's just selfishness. It's just heartlessness. It's just, you know, I can't be bothered right now. And I think that we just don't want to face the lie because we know. And I think if you ask any woman that's ever killed her baby, she'll tell you, I knew.
This is Catherine Davis. She's now the director of the Minority Affairs for Georgia Right to Life. And she is just sincerely talking about her own experience. And she's interviewed, obviously, a lot of girls, a lot of ladies at this point. Mm-hmm. And she says, that's how it really is. It's not what people say it is. It's just all about self.
Wow.
It's all about, you know, what I want. Mm-hmm. I had a vision for my life.
That's what
And this vision, the byproduct of me, you know, having being sexually active outside of marriage or even inside of marriage, mm-hmm. is wasn't in the birth of a child, wasn't in her plans. Right. Well, Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 21, talks about how evil the sacrifice of children is in God's eyes. Understand, first of all, I want to say to any lady out there, any woman out there, any girl out there that has done this, you got to call it what it is. But if you'll do that, if you'll acknowledge it and say, ask God to forgive you and turn to the Lord, he forgives you. Not only will he forgive you, then you can ask him to heal you and restore you. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, dear God, I won't remain silent anymore. And then he can use you like Catherine Davis here in Georgia, and you could begin to help a lot of other babies not end up this way. And forgiven is forgiven. I mean, God will forgive you. He'll restore you, he'll heal you, and he'll use you. And so I just want to preface that this with that. But to understand Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, he says what he says. He says, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Moloch or Molech. For you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. He's declaring that. And they were shedding their own children's blood for personal perceived gain from their gods. This is what Israel was doing. Mm-hmm. They were shedding their own children's innocent blood for their own personal gain. That's what Catherine just said. Catherine said, this is not in my plan. I have gains in store. I have a vision in store. So I'm going to sacrifice this child for my own personal gain. I'm going to shed the blood of my child for my own personal gain, what I want. This doesn't fit in my box. Israel, according to Leviticus and the Word of God, they were even burning their children's body to death for personal gain to this false god named Moloch. We have to understand, so, you know, that's present today. If we sacrifice 50 million children since 1973, reportedly, that's 50 million sacrifices of children. And amongst all the ones that this, quote, doctor, unquote, sacrifice, three of them, he's going to end up serving life or being put to death for these three.
Right.
But the question remains, what happens to the ones who killed the other 50 million?
Right.
What happens to the other ones who killed the 50 million? I was watching some things in the Constitution, and in California, they have laws there that are outside the Supremacy Clause in the Constitution, because the Supremacy Clause in the Constitution says that any federal law will have supremacy over any state law. That's why you don't want these laws passed on a federal level, right, because all of a sudden it doesn't matter what your state does. It's all one country, and the only way that you can change things is to leave your country. Right now, you can just leave your state. If you don't like what that state's doing, you can vote with your feet and go to another state. Well, the Supremacy Clause says that, and it's against our law to buy and sell drugs, marijuana. But yet they're producing and selling marijuana and taxing it and all this stuff in California, over 3 million in...
Colorado.
No. It started in California.
Okay.
Yeah, it's California. And they're doing it almost like a pharmacy now, but it's like a pharmacy. And you go in and you get your marijuana, different types of marijuana. And I can't think of the particular city. This Oakland, which has a lot of history of a lot of trouble in Oakland. This particular organization that's selling this marijuana in a professional way was proud of themselves that they are one of the top 10 taxpayers in Oakland. But this is what he says. He says, and I'm going somewhere with this, he says, but every day I wake up and I don't know if I'm going to be free or the federal government's going to come to arrest me because the federal government says I deserve 4 or 5 life sentences for every certain amount of drugs that you sell. You got to have a life sentence. So if you get arrested in Nevada, for example, for what he's doing, you get a life sentence.
Wow.
But he's in California, so he's not getting a life sentence. But there's still that supremacy. So any moment, the feds, according to the Supremacy Clause in the Constitution, can come in and arrest him. Mm-hmm. And everybody that's messing with that.
Wow.
So he lives now in that constant, I don't know what tomorrow holds. And now that's exactly how abortion doctors feel in America.
Right.
They feel the very same way.
They
don't know. Well, they don't know. Now there's a case. There was no case prior to this. Now they know. Now they know that you can go to jail and you can be put to death and be labeled the murderer you are. You say, well, that's not happening in my state. But let me tell you what. That doctor's going to get up every day. He or she's going to get up every day now thinking that they can be next. So no matter what Congress does, no matter what the judiciary branch does, no matter what the executive branch does, every doctor is going to begin to think that can be me on CNN News tomorrow, and people screaming and yelling at me and calling me the murderer that I am. And I just really believe, even right now, I'm just going to pray with me. Lord, we just pray that their eyes would be open and their hearts would see that this is murder. It's the murder of children. Sacrifices to Moloch. And bring them to a place where their eyes can see, their ears can hear, and their heart can just repent and begin to just say, you know what? I'm washing my hands of this. God, end abortion. Sin, revival.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Can faith-based groups lawfully meet in a privately owned facility? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We just recently, in our little senior housing group, started a little singing Christian worship on Sunday afternoon. Well, we were informed that it is illegal because the land was donated by the state and going through the Constitution separation of church and state, that it is illegal for us to worship or gather as a singing group or anything as far as Christianity is concerned.
That's absolutely incorrect. There's not a prohibition that says basically if you are a Christian group or meeting as Christians and for praise and worship that all of a sudden now you're excluded from a facility that somehow has governmental involvement in it. That's just not the law. Let me get you in touch, Patsy, with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and get you some help on this situation right away.
Get involved. Find out how at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, in every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America, but it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
If you ever heard someone speak about the Word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow one another. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat D. We're talking about focusing on the celebration today of our jury of our peers. And by the way, the reason why there was a jury, before this case, and that when this doctor was arrested for being accused of Gosnell of killing these children, they didn't just go, okay, we're going to take you to jail. They said, we're going to take you to court. Mm-hmm. And then, because of our Constitution, he had constitutional rights. So he could actually, they first had to prove their case, and witnesses had to come and testify about what's going on. Since the babies, the law that was passed under President George W. Bush, that says that when the child is born alive, then at that point the law considers that a patient, mm-hmm. not a fetus, as they would try to do.
Right.
And it has to be treated as a citizen, has constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. And so you had the child now had constitutional rights, because if they actually determined that this child was murdered, they determined that this child was alive, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden it was something that happened between two American citizens.
Right.
Two U.S. citizens. So the Constitution applied to everybody concerned. In addition to that, each state has been, according to the Constitution, has your own courts, your own laws, and all the things that are happening such as that. And so in the state constitutions, they set up courts where you have a judge and you have a prosecutor and you have a defense attorney. The prosecutor would be the one that was bringing the case against this doctor, Gosnell. And the defense attorney was the one that would defend Dr. Gosnell's constitutional rights. And the prosecutor attorney is the one who would prosecute on behalf of these children who were murdered, their constitutional rights. This all would happen in front of a judge, but it also would happen, and it did happen, in front of a jury of our peers. This is a unique system, by the way, that is so important, because think about these children who no longer have a voice. A murder victim no longer has a voice. But there is a constitution that says, but we will defend each American citizen. And so a jury was selected to hear everything that the prosecutor had to say on behalf of these children who were murdered, everything that the defense attorney had to say on behalf of Gosnell. And then the judge would look over that to make sure things were happening in the constitutional way it's supposed to happen. All these witnesses were called in. All these nurses allegedly came in and shared what happened. And then the jury went out into deliberations. And they went and reviewed all the things that they heard and everything. And everybody had to wait. Not the judge, not the prosecutor, not the defense attorney, not Gosnell, not even the children who were murdered. And not all the people watching, not all the pundits, not all the newscasters and all that kind of stuff. Everybody had to wait for these American citizens that were chose to be on that jury to decide the guilt or innocence of this man. Is he innocent or is he guilty?
Right.
And so you may have heard that the jury's in deliberations. Well, we're talking about original intent, that remember this, that happened because of our Constitution. It happened because of our Constitution that he was being tried by a jury. And that's so important, because if we're not being tried by a jury, as a matter of fact, it's the Sixth Amendment. Mm-hmm. It says, in all criminal prosecutions, and that's what was going on, he's being prosecuted for a crime that he allegedly committed, but now he's been convicted of it. The accused, this is American citizens. The accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. So this whole thing was public. By an impartial jury of the state. And so you had the jury that heard everything. That's the impartial jury of the state. I'm reading from you from the Constitution. That's why this thing happened this way.
Right.
This is how these dead children got justice. By an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by the law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation. In other words, they had to tell them you're being charged with these cases of murder. And I believe it was five, two of them.
Originally,
five. To be confronted with the witnesses against them. So the fact that people had come in and testified against Gosnell, that's constitutional. He had a constitutional right to watch these witnesses come in and testify publicly against him, mm-hmm. which he probably would have foregone that. But
all right.
And to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor so he could bring in other witnesses that could testify on his behalf. And to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. That's the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution. This is what we would say when I was in law enforcement, I was arresting you or something. I would say you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. If you cannot afford to hire an attorney to represent you, then we will see the ones provided for you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand these rights? And they would say, you know, yes or no. And then at that point, you say, understanding these rights, which is your constitutional rights, because the police officer is not the judge. The police officer, the deputy or the police officer are not the jury of your peers. That's why they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to do away with the Constitution, I'm going to tell you something.
Right.
If you want to do away with this Constitution, the present mindset of our present government, these children would not have gotten justice. But they got justice because of the Constitution and because of many prayers of the saints that have prayed and asked God to bring justice. It's the Sixth Amendment to the in the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. And so I want you to remember when we're watching these things, they don't just happen. They happen because we have, and the word Constitution means what we're made up of. So we are a nation of laws. And the preamble, we talk about the preamble, but think about it. And we've talked about this a little bit earlier, too, in the month, I think. But the preamble to the Constitution says, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. And that's what just got served with Gosnell. These children got justice. To establish justice. So the purpose of the Sixth Amendment was to be able to establish justice. Because, you know, he could have been innocent. You know, we can't just listen to all the media. We need to know that he went before a jury of his peers who heard all the evidence and they made the decision. We can't just buy on. Even though we're like, man, this is terrible what he's being accused of. We got to find out that he did do it.
Right.
You know, that he did. He is an abortionist and that he did do that. The purpose of the Constitution is to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for a common defense, promote the general welfare. And that's what we're doing. We're working on our children. And secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our children, our posterity, the people that come after us. Do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. Listen, we've got it. We want to have this Constitution. It's optional. We could do away with it and no telling what would happen. And you could be the next one on trial. Or you could be the next one that needs justice. The scales of justice. That's why you see it always weighed out with two different scales. And it has everybody weighing the evidence, bringing the evidence in. And our system is built off of this. It's better to let two guilty men free than to send one innocent man to jail. And so with that, that means when you have to bring in this evidence, you've got to really prove your case beyond a shadow of a doubt that they've committed this crime. You cannot have any doubt at all. Mm-hmm. And so if there's any doubt, all of a sudden they're accusing this one particular person in the courtroom and it's a scenario case. And then all of a sudden the defense attorney says, well, did you ever investigate his brother? His brother does the same kind of work. He does all this kind of stuff. And then the prosecutor would have to come up and say, no, Your Honor, we never did consider them. So now the jury of the peers says, well, why didn't they investigate everybody? Why did they just pick one person out? Mm-hmm. And so there's a probability they're going to go back and say, listen, this thing was leading all the way this guy was going to go down. But now there's doubt. These guys predetermined this man's guilt or innocence, and they just chose he was the one, and they did not investigate everything. They took our place, and they became judge and jury. And because of that, a guilty man gets off. People say, I can't believe they let him go, but it's like sloppy work or just judgments happening on the streets.
Right.
And this is a beautiful system. That it's not the perfect system. It's called a more perfect system. And think about that. So when you hear people saying that we need to change these, the Constitution, it's an outdated document. So the one saying that is like, there's term limits in there.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Thank God for that. The very fact that the Constitution exists says that we can only have to hear that for so long. And then they have to come up for election again. But it's amazing what's taking place. So in continuing this conversation about the Gosnell verdict, and I'm like, Mark Downey talking about it. He says, I don't even want to call him a doctor.
Mm-mm.
We'll just call him, Kermit Gosnell. And but since then, and I'm going to be talking in a moment just about the statistics about abortion and what you're seeing right now, you're seeing an escalation of the destruction of children as quick as possible. At the same time, while they're promoting all kinds of free sex and promiscuous behavior and imagery and media and all this kind of stuff, which causes people to be enticed into things they may not have done. And next thing you know, a child is a result.
Right.
And even to the point now, they're wanting to fund and have funded, reportedly, with federal monies, abortion. And the answer to a lot of things happening in Africa with some of the Bill Clinton's organization, the Global Initiatives and all that, listening to him on C-SPAN, he's talking about, they advertise abortion. And the Plan B pill.
Oh, wow.
And so the answer for darkness is always just kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
Just kill someone. And the answer in regards to Christians is preach them the gospel. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Let them know that God can empower us and keep us. And if we walk rightly before the Lord, then these won't have to happen.
Right.
But murder is a sin that will sin. This is what he says in the very last chapter of your Bible in the book of Revelation on 22. Let me just read it to you what it says right here. Because you hear people and it's like, everybody goes into heaven. Everybody's right. Going to heaven. And everybody's in a better place. But he says right here, this is what he says. In Revelation 22, he said, blessed are those who are washed their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. He's talking about heaven. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lies, falsehoods. He says in Revelation 21, verse 7, he says, but the coward, the unbeliever, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, and those who practice arts, the idolaters, and all the liars, that they will be in the lake of fire.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, then it's sin. It's sin, and if you committed one sin, this is what the Word of God says, you've committed them all. So don't think, oh, there's no way God will forgive me. No, you've just been confronted with your sin. Just go to the cross. Go, God, Lord, I've sinned. I want to make you the Lord of my life. Lord, I've been a murderer. Maybe you're a doctor that you've been taking the lives of children and murdering them in the womb, murdering them on the table after they've been born. Maybe you're the woman who said, like Catherine Davis said, I was just selfish and I just wanted my way and it didn't fit in my vision. So I murdered my child. And just say it, call it what it is. And it helps you relate to how evil it is. And then you could say, God, forgive me, which helps you relate to how good God is, because God will forgive you and cleanse you and restore you and even use you to prevent further children being taken in this murdering thing that we've identified as abortion.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Sometimes a little question can help ease tensions and simplify things. I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. When Lisa Turkhurst asked her husband what mattered most to him when he walked in the door at night, she found that life got easier for the both of them.
So I can either tidy up the house that way, or I can cook dinner. I have a choice there, you know, and what matters the most to him, if I'm pressured and I can only pick one of those two, I know what matters more to him is to have the house tidy rather than having a home-cooked meal. So I get takeout and I tidy the house. And because I know that, I don't create this internal pressure. I'm a bad wife. I'm a bad wife. I can't cook dinner and tidy the house. I'm a bad wife. I don't have that anymore.
You'll hear more stories and insights from Lisa Turkhurst about reducing stress and strengthening your relationship today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, it's so important, Pat, to you may have a desire in your heart that you want to go deeper in God.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not see a way to do that, or you may be looking at a way that seems a lot different than you feel that you're called to in your heart. It's just really, you know, when you want to know the way of God, you want to know what he wants. He's called us to do three very simple things. Mm-hmm. You know, the great commandment is to love God, right?
Right.
Love our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
And love our neighbor as ourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the great commission is to lead other people to love God.
Right. Right.
Which is love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. You know, that is so important. That you need to be trained up, you know, to be discipled in God and just the basic discipleship. But once you get to that point and you're ready, you feel like you're called and you want to go into the Great Commission and everybody's called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, think about VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. You know, it begins to change the mindsets of the world and the mindsets of religion, because you have to be empowered by God, endued by his spirit to be able to go out and be witnesses for him.
Right.
And you know, I mean, VFNU is just so, I mean, I don't know. All we know is that God is blessing it. It's a revelation from the Lord. I mean, every time that you go in, you're thinking, my goodness, it can't get any deeper than that, or it can't get any and the next wave of revelation that comes. And what it is, it's like precept upon precept. And by the time you come through VFNU, if you properly went through VFNU as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out, say, man, I am ready to obey God. I can see clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so if that's you, if you want to be trained up for the harvest field, you want to, you know, maybe you're called to do, for a church plant, that there's something inside of you, you've been wanting to plant a church for some time. And just like Peter Wagner recently said on VFN Radio and Steve Hill, that the hope for turning a country around, or a nation around, or America around, is a rapid church planting movement. Well, we're looking for you.
Right.
We want to partner with you. We want to encourage you. You need to come and check out VFNU.org, Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org, and maybe that's for you. I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier.
Mm.
You know, be a source. you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. That just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio. We're talking about the Gosnell case. We're talking about abortion. We're talking about the constitutional original intent of the nation, the Constitution, and so much more. Kind of focusing in a celebratory way about, you know, this decision that was made and how all these things have to work together, including the prayers of the saints. Because for years now, Lou Engel and the International House of Prayer in Kansas City with Mike Bickle, and we ourselves probably over about a five-year period, and others throughout the America have been praying, "Dear God, end abortion, send revival." And we are a land of laws, based on a system that says, let the decision stand. And why this is such a major victory is now a decision has been made by the jury, and which happens because of the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution. And every justice is going to have to deal with that decision. Attorney is going to have to deal with that decision because they're going to hear it when they start arguing their case in the future, when future abortion doctors are being on trial for murder.
Right.
The defense attorney is going to say things, you know, whatever their defense is, which they should defend them or her. But then the prosecutor is going to say, well, according to the case, the Gosnell case, Gosnell versus the state, you know, and they're going to go, oh, great,
mm-hmm.
because that case stands. And it does away with all previous decisions at that point once it stands. That's why they'll take it to the Supreme Court and try to snuff it out. But you can't snuff out murder.
That's all right.
You can't snuff out murder. And so they have to deal with why was it a murder today outside the womb, but a week ago it was not murder in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to, all these things they're going to have to argue with right now. So this is a great beginning step versus justice for these three children. For all the future babies that would have, their lives would have been. And of course, I think he was closed down. His clinic was closed down because of issuing illegal pain medication or something like that. I think it's reported by CBN News.
Yeah.
But in that, when they went to go close out his clinic, they found out there was things in there that was totally not. They found perfect body parts of the babies in the freezer, refrigerator, and all this different thing. And you think, well, why would he do that? Well, I don't know. But I know this, if you're going and you're getting human DNA, if you're going and you're getting injections of certain types of things for your cell structure based off of tissue from human beings, it very well could be babies' bodies just like this. Mm. It's called... I'm drawing a blank right now. No, you can tell me in a moment.
Embryonic?
Yeah, stem cell.
Stem cell.
The stem cell, and people were like, because you know, the first thing that this current president did was to, you know, do away with that. you know, because President George W. Bush said no to the stem cell research. And now you say, well, why would he keep baby parts of their bodies like that? That's where children, not adult, but baby fetus, they call them fetuses, but these babies, obviously, now they know it's murder. He had these murder babies in there so that someone can have that stem cell research done, or to inject those stem cells into somebody's body who might have Parkinson's or whatever that is, so that the cell can regenerate itself or something, they say. And it's like, is our life living worth taking another life? Is it worth sacrificing a baby's life so that we can have life? It's like, why do we want to live? Why would one individual have so much right to live that another human being would have to be sacrificed for you?
Mm. Wow.
Think about that. Why people want to live so bad? You want to live so bad that you're willing to prevent that right for some other, a child? Why is that okay? Granted, there was 50 million children, according to reports, that have been aborted, but why is it okay for you to kill another human being so that you can live? And they have adult stem cells and all that. Well, their warning was these children, some of them were taken reportedly from the umbilical cords of born babies that are healthy and all, but a lot is reportedly taken from the baby itself. And it's like, how could you live knowing that this child was murdered so that you could live?
Wow.
Why not be ready to die? Why not give your life, your whole life, to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what? I'm not living for this life anyway. Because if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he's building you a city, there's a new Jerusalem, there's a perfect place with no sickness, no disease. And if you're suffering from a disease, I pray the Lord would heal you. And he is a God that heals all. He can heal all diseases. But don't fall for the sin of murder to be able so you can be healed. You just fall at the foot of Jesus and at the cross and say, dear God, I want to be healed. Heal me. But if you were to die as a believer, you're instantly with the Lord standing in his presence. And understand this, that heaven is better than anything that's here. And not only that, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth after an eventual period of time, which is a millennial reign, that you live forever with no sickness and no disease. And it's like we've become so selfish that we're willing to kill our children because we want a good reputation. We're willing to have a child use parts of a child's body, granted that it's a stem cell, so you can disassociate from that came from the child,
right,
for our own health. And Colossians 3:5 says, put to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And his expectations of us, listen, this stuff, it's greedy. When we want to take somebody else's life to be able to have our life, that's greedy. It's like saying, listen, I don't have money. You do have money, so I'm just going to rob you and take your money so I can have money. Don't take it personally. I think I deserve a better life than I have. It's like, but then I'm not going to have you sell my money. And it's like, well, think about it with your life. It's like, hey, you know, I think I deserve a life without disease, so I think I'm just going to have your life taken, and I'm going to take parts of your body, your stem cells, and I'm going to inject them in my body so I have, because I deserve it. Well, what about the life you just took?
Mm-hmm.
It's greedy. It's all about self and self-seeking and selfishness and idolatry and greed. And dear God, forgive us for being so ungrateful and that we want more and more and more and more. I mean, the poorest amongst us are richer than 80% of the world in America, but yet we still are dissatisfied. And we're going to be talking in the extra hour that there's an organization called, I believe it's called Not Kidding, that that they actually celebrate no children. They celebrate no children, that life's about them, and to have children would just take away from them. This is the mindset that's being promulgated in our country. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read His Word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you, if God's calling you to relate to us as Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what He wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org. As a matter of fact, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and
Africa. I mean, it's all around the world. In America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio. There might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.